You'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. That'll be our first reference this morning. You know, the power of advertising can lead us to associate certain words with certain products. For instance, if I say Ford and I say truck, there's a word that they've tried to get us to understand, the commercial snapshots as the television rolls, or as a truck rolling over rugged terrain, you know, going this way. Then it's pulling a heavy trailer, and down plops a heavy payload into the bed of the truck as it bears its burden. And finally, as the sun sets, there it sits, majestic on top of the cliff. At the end of the day, a job well done. And the tagline of the commercial, the word association, this truck is built Ford Tough. That's the word, tough. There's not a lot in the commercial that's said about the comfortable seats, the air conditioner, the sound system, or all the digital doodads. Those are the bells and whistles that are bragged about, but they don't factor into the purpose of getting the job done. Because what sells to people who want the job done is a vehicle that bears that idea that it's not comfortable, it's tough. Jesus is tough. His journey crossed and crosses rugged terrain. Look there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. You know, he met the devil in the desert head on and came away a hero. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." You know, Jesus walked up that hill that we just remembered called Mount Calvary. And he rose up our Savior. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 says, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." Donnie McClurkin caught the essence of our Lord's journey in his song. And if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it's that beautiful passage that Paul brings forth that describes that journey as well. But McClurkin in his song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High," says, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." Beautiful song. And in those four lines captures that whole idea of the terrain that Jesus crossed. And he did it, meeting every obstacle. Jesus pulls a heavy load of souls saved toward heaven's gates. It's not easy. You think about Kevin's prayer, and I appreciate that. But he has to deal with all of us, even though we are his under his blood. He intercedes or intervenes for his people. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, "Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." He mediates. He's the peacemaker on our behalf. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He advocates. He is our representative before God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Jesus carries a heavy load because he's carrying us. He carries redemption's payload. He came to seek and to save the lost, he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. But nowhere is that, I think, capitalized better than in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So he came to seek and to save us. He took our place. He took our sins upon himself. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 prophesied, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so, at the end of the day, or as we look at the Jesus being tough, we see Jesus majestically at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to tell you, Jesus is tough. I have to explain something quickly. The reason I picked that word was because I asked our teenagers, I said, I need a word. I said, give me a word, something you can carry through the week. We talked about this in our Bible class months ago. And we talked about, if we could just have one word to carry with us through the week, what would that word be? And we came up with some, and I thought, you might have a word that you want to discuss. But our teens came, and the first word they gave me was tough. I said, we can do that. Okay? And that's how the message got started. You know, Christians are tough. Christians are tough. They journey over some rugged terrain. In the 15th century, John Bunyan penned the classic Pilgrim's Progress. And in it, he has a character named Christian. And he journeys from his home, called the City of Destruction, to heaven, called the Celestial City in the book. He crosses over some familiar territory to a lot of us. Despondency, wickedness, difficulty, humiliation, death, affluence, doubt, just to name a few. And he struggles through all of that. You know, the way of the cross leads home. But it requires help. And as a body of Christ, Christians have journeyed over that rugged terrain for centuries. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14 says, take care, brothers, lest there be any of you in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Christians throughout the centuries have done just that. They've stayed together. They've held on to each other. We've focused on Jesus. And they've pulled the heavy load of living counter to the culture around them. Brian Bordeson commented, Jesus points out over and over again in his teachings that his followers are to be entirely different from others. They're not to take their cue from the world around them, but take their talking points, their living motto, maxims, their commandments from the Lord himself. And that draws the attention of the world. Titus 2, verses 11 through 14 puts it this way. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. But through the centuries, Christians have also carried the payload of persecution. Everett Ferguson wrote in Christianity Today, he said, early Christians expected suffering. Christ had died on the cross, so there was no higher honor than to imitate that death through accepting martyrdom or the witness by one's blood, that I give my life as willingly as he gave his. That's seen in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. For Peter expressed that if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Christians throughout history have become a great cloud of witnesses. And upon their shoulders, we stand. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, going through 12 and verse 1. Hebrew writer says, of whom the world was not worthy of them, and all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I can sit here and I can talk to you about Jesus being tough, and you'll nod and think, well, yeah, he's tough, you know. And I can tell you about our history as Christians, and you can nod and say, Christians are tough. But I need you and me to talk for a moment. I need you to know that you are tough. You are tough. You all, I can't say that. No, no. Your journey is rugged, steep, and intimidating. Be honest. Some of us have met the devil himself. Am I right? We live in a world of temptation, compromise, comparisons, distractions. The obstacles before us are often huge and daunting, like that old big mountain that truck is climbing up and over, you know, kind of thing. But you know, your journey is tough. Jesus says you can do it. He did it. 2,000 years worth of Christians have done it. And they're pointing it at us and they're saying you can do it. Like that truck in that commercial, as you can, with what you can, one wheel, one purchase at a time, one struggle at a time, you get there with God providing the strength and the encouragement, and you just do what's ahead of you, and you climb that rock one step at a time. Remember Habakkuk 3 and verse 19. Write that in the margin somewhere. Habakkuk 3 and verse 19 says, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. You want to overcome the obstacle? You need the strength that only God is to you. But you can do it because you're tough. You're going to have to pull some heavy loads. You might have to pull the heavy load of something emotional like worry or grudges or fear. Perhaps it's a physical load like an illness or budgets or lack of budget. Or family. You know, or it may be spiritual load that you have to carry, where you carry regret or guilt or disobedience. The pack on our back gets wearisome over the years. But what we're saying is, Christians, you're going to back up and you're going to hook onto that load and you're going to pull that load. You're going to pull that load because Jesus did it, because 2,000 years of Christians have done it, and they're saying that you can do it. You hitch up your life to Jesus. You put it in gear and you move forward. In fact, Jesus calls it a yoke. But listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to tell you, in this time and place, though, that you're carrying the gospel's payload into this world. It is our task. It is what we were designed and made for. You've heard it said that you may be the only gospel some people may ever hear. And that's just the truth of it. It's not just a saying. That's the truth of it. You are the only gospel some people will ever hear. The saving message of sinners redeemed by our Savior's blood is ours to preach. It is ours to teach. It is ours to take into the world. The salt of the gospel cannot do its work sitting in the salt shaker in a pew. We have got to shake it out and get out there and share the word with people. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and following says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But understand this, you are tough. Sure, you got to carry the payload. Sure, you got to back up and pull the load. And yes, you've got obstacles ahead of you. But you know what? You're headed for glory with our Lord. I read to you 1 Peter chapter 4, verse before, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, though, says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. At the end of the day, He sits on the throne, and you're there at his feet because you're tough. What convinces the world that we are for real as Christians concerning this life that we live, and we want others to live that life that we've come to understand? It's not the bells and the whistles of comfort. I am so tired. We're too many waste, too many resources bragging about their sound system or their comfort level or whatever else. It's not time to be comfortable. It's time to be tough. The convincing truth they want to hear is that there is a vehicle that gets the job done, getting people from here to glory. And that vehicle is the church of our Lord. And that's what we are. We're Jesus tough. And that's his invitation today. You need to be a person who's a part of what Jesus is doing in this world, the way he does it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're not a part of that, we invite you to do so. If you need to be baptized, if you need to repent of sin, if you need prayer, would you come to the front and make your need known now as together we stand and as we sing.